एक ओंकार सतनाम कर्ता पुरख निरपाओ निर्वैर अकाल मूरत अजूनी सर्वं गुर प्रसाद जप आदि सच जुग आदि सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच एक ओंकार सतनाम कर्ता पुरख निरपाओ निर्वैर अकाल मूरत अजूनी सैभं गुर प्रसाद जप आदि सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच एक ओंकार सतनाम कर्ता पुरख निरपौ निर्वैर अकाल मूरत अजूनी सैभं गुर प्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच एक ओंकार सतनाम कर्ता पुरख निरपौ निर्वैर अकाल मूरत अजूनी सैभं गुर प्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच एक ओंकार सतनाम कर्ता पुरख निरपौ निर्वैर अकाल मूरत अजूनी सैभं गुर प्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु
वाणी गुरु गुरु है वाणी विच वाणी अमृत सारे गुरबाणी कहे सेवक जन माने पर तख गुरु निसतारे अमृत बाणी हर हर तेरी सुन सुन होवे परम गत मेरी जलन बुझी शीतल होए मनुआ सतगुर का दर्शन पाए जियो फिरत प्रभ आया परिया तो सरनाए नानक की प्रभ बेनती अपनी भगती लाए
सतनाम श्री वाहे गुरु साचा साहिब साच नाए पाख्या पाओ अपार आख है मंग है देह देह दात करे दातार फेर के अग्गै रखिया जित दिसै दरबार मोह कै बोलन बोलिया ਜਿਤ ਸੁਣ ਤਰੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਵੇਲਾ ਸੱਚ ਨਾਉ ਵਡਿਆਈ ਵਿਚਾਰ ਕਰਮੀ ਆਵੈ ਕਪਰਾ ਨਦਰੀ ਮੋਖ ਦੁਆਰ ਨਾਨਕ ਏਵੈ ਜਾਣੀਐ ਸਭ ਆਪੇ ਸਚਿਆਰ ਸਾਚਾ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸਾਚ ਨਾਇ ਪਾਖਿਆ ਪਾਉ ਅਪਾਰ ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕਾ ਖਾਲਸਾ ਵਾਹਿਗੁਰੂ ਜੀ ਕੀ ਫਤਿਹ।
ਪਰਮ ਸਤਿਕਾਰਯੋਗ ਗੁਰੂ ਖਾਲਸਾ ਸਾਧ ਸੰਗਤ ਜੀ, ਵੀ ਬਲੈਸਡ ਟੂ ਬੀ ਇਨ ਦ ਪ੍ਰੈਜੈਂਸ ਆਫ ਸ੍ਰੀ ਗੁਰੂ ਗ੍ਰੰਥ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ, ਦ ਕਿੰਗ ਆਫ ਆਲ ਕਿੰਗਸ, ਹੂ ਹੈਜ਼ ਬ੍ਰੋਟ ਅਸ ਹੇਅਰ ਟੁਗੈਦਰ ਦੈਟ ਵੀ ਕੈਨ ਲਰਨ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਦ ਬਲੈਸਡ ਟੀਚਿੰਗਸ ਕੰਟੇਨਡ ਇਨ ਦੈਟ ਪਵਿੱਤਰ ਦੈਟ ਹੋਲੀ ਬਾਣੀ ਪ੍ਰੇਅਰ ਦੈਟ ਕੰਪ੍ਰਾਈਜ਼ਿਸ ਦ ਫਸਟ ਅੰਗਸ ਆਫ ਸ੍ਰੀ ਗੁਰੂ ਗ੍ਰੰਥ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਜੀ ਵਿਚ ਵੀ ਨਾਓ ਐਜ਼ Japji Sahib. And last week we heard about the questions posed by those Siddhas, the ascetics, in their attempts to take a deeper understanding of who Paramatma, that supreme soul, who the creator of us all is. And they were asking Guru Nanak about what kind of a king Waheguru was, and when their time as ruler had come to pass. And Guru Nanak so very beautifully explained that Sacha Sahib, that king is not unlike any other king, that their kingdom is not like a kingdom that shall fall or come into existence, but that they were true before time even came to be. They will always be true throughout all of the ages, even at this time. And as Guru Nanak explains, they will always be true. And the Siddhas ask Guru Nanak, well, what is the way to receive Waheguru? What is the way to their heavens? And again, so beautifully, so perfectly, Guru Nanak explains, Sach Nai, that the way to God, the way to self-realization, is through repetition of their true name. The true name of the Creator has been given to us by Guru Nanak, being Waheguru. Sare akho
Waheguru. Wahe Guru, Wahe Guru, Wahe Guru, Wahe Guru.
That the way to Sacha Sahib is through repetition of that true one's true name. And then finally the Siddhas are asking Guru Nanak, well, what language is that name etched out into this world? Is it written in Hindi, Urdu, Farsi, Punjabi? And Guru Nanak says, Pakhya, the language of that name is a language of Pau, the language of love. The language that the Creator speaks, the way within which we can communicate with the Creator, Karta Purkh, is through acting our actions and speaking the language of love, of compassionate deeds, of seva, of honorable actions. And so we pick up this conversation now, continuing this body, and the Siddhas are asking Guru Nanak Dev Ji further questions as their understanding of Waheguru deepens and their journey towards the truth is continuing. Hanji.
Fer ke agar rakhiya jitte disay darbar Vaheguru akhe mangahe deh deh date kare datare.
So the Siddhas, understanding that the true Lord is received through calling the true name, which should be recited with love, they now ask Guru Nanak, what of the creation? Do people in this world ask Vaheguru for gifts? And Guru Nanak Dev Ji replies, Akhehe mangehe dehe dehe. That the whole creation is speaking and calling out, that all of the universe and all that is made up of being within it, sare akhe rende, that they're all speaking, akhe meaning to speak. And what are they doing with their words? Mangehe. They are putting their thoughts, their requests, their supplications to that Paramatma, to that Supreme Soul. And what they are saying is, dehe, dehe, give me, give me. Guru Nanak is saying to the Siddhas that all of humanity, all of the animals, all of the Devi, Devte that have come to be worshipped in the Hindu Dharam, that all of these beings and angels and deities and demigods, that all of the molecules of creation that make up all of the beings, that they are all crying out. And the Siddhas then ask Guru Nanak, well, if this is the case, does Vaheguru answer all of their prayers? And Guru Nanak replies, Data kare datar. That the data, the gifts that are requested, are given by Vaheguru, the giver of all gifts. They are constantly and continually giving to the whole of creation, just as the requests are being made. Akhe mangehe dehe dehe, dat kare datar. Guru Nanak is saying that the whole creation is calling out to God and making requests, and that continually, each and every time these requests are being made, they are being met by the Creator giving whatever ardas is being made. And in today's day and age in Western philosophy, we can see glimpses of this truth now being brought out into the world. Concepts such as, for example, the law of attraction, which is now very famously being taught as a new philosophy that is being brought onto the world. Actually, the whole philosophy is that which you're thinking about, that which you're concentrating your mind onto, that you'll receive these things. That if you're constantly thinking negative things, that you're going to bring negative things into your life. We call it positive thinking, or mindful thinking, or the law of attraction. But actually, this philosophy has been espoused, has been brought onto the earth 550 years ago by Guru Nanak. Guru Nanak is making it plainly clear, Akhe mange, what you speak from your mouth, that which you ask for, be dehe dehe. Guru Nanak is saying, Daat kare datar, that you will get that which you ask for. And again, this is a wonderful opportunity for us to sit back and take a moment to reflect about where we are in our jivans. If Guru Nanak speaks the truth, and we know that is always the case, then what this means is our current condition, where we are in our lives right now, including all of the wonderful and perhaps sometimes terrifying and scary things that are in our lives, that we've requested these things, that we've brought these things to bear down upon us. And there's a wonderful word that we use when we do practice training with some of the Sangat on a Wednesday night at Barking Gordara. We do a self-defense class. We're very fortunate to have a chance to train with some Sangat there. And we talk about this concept of ownership, taking ownership for what is happening to you and what is going on around you. Because so for long as you are looking outwardly and saying, I don't deserve this, that what's happening to me right now is someone else's fault. I didn't request this. Because you're putting your circumstances, you're looking to externalize that which is going on around you as someone else is doing. For so long as we are doing this, we cannot take control. We cannot take any control of what is happening, because you're saying, yo, this has got nothing to do with me. I'm a victim here. And this victim mentality excuses us from having to take acceptance of where we are right now. When Guru Nanak is saying to us, Akhe mange dehe de, that those things which we speak of, which we ask for, Maharaj kende, daat ke re daatar, that all of these things we will receive. So it really begs the question that if we are where we are right now is a sum total calculation that's perfectly executed by the universe, reflecting all of the things that we've in the past to this very moment asked for, then that means we can take responsibility, take charge, take ownership of where we're going to go going forward by perhaps changing what we're going to ask for. If where we are right now isn't a place of happiness and contentment, and we know that we are here where we are right now because of what we've asked for in the past, this can allow us, it can compel us to sort of think, hang about, what I'm asking for is not quite working. Maybe we should start changing it up a little bit and start changing those things that we are asking for. We know truly that whatever we ask for, we will get. Maybe I'm asking for the wrong things. Sadh Sangati, right now, hopefully, you're thinking, well, hang about, what should we be asking for? What is it that we should now be calling out for to maybe change track, change tact, change direction? Well, Sri Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj is going to answer those questions for us today. Hanji.
Fere ke agya rakhiya jit disa darbar.
The Sids, they say to Guru Nanak, okay, if we should be so lucky to find ourselves in the court of the King of Kings, Fere ke agya rakhiya jit disa darbar, if we should find ourselves in the darbar of Vaheguru, Fer ke agge rakhiye, fer, what then should we, agge, in front of us, rakhiye, place. Fer ke agge rakhiye, did they say darbar, what offering should we make to that one? Hanji.
Moho ke bolan boliya, jit son tare pyar.
The Sids go on to pose a second question to Guru Nanak. And this Pankti is the Sids posing that question. They say, Moho ke bolan boliye, jit sun tare pyar. Moho, from your mouth, from my mouth, Moho ke bolan boliye, what should we speak? Jit sun tare pyar, to go about obtaining his love. The Sids are saying to Guru Nanak in these two Panktiya, Pher ke agirakhiye jit se darbar, Moho ke bolan boliye, jit sun tare pyar. They're saying, what should we give as a gift in the court of Waheguru? What should we speak in the presence of Waheguru to get his love? And Guru Nanak answers the question.
Amrit vela sach nao vadiyai vichar.
Guru Nanak, that one that was to bring light into darkness, they answer the question perfectly. They say, Amrit Vela Sach Nao Vadiyai Vichar. We can split the answer into three sections. They say the answer can be split into three. Vela Amrit Vela. To wake at Amrit Vela. To rise in that time, which is referred to as the time beyond death. Amrit Vela means, Mrit means death. Amrit means that time which is beyond death. Vella means time. So which time is Guru Nanak talking about? They're talking about that time which is the 3 hours before the sun rises, which we can say between 3 and 6 a.m. So without going too much into the lunar cycles, the day in Eastern philosophy can be split into 8 sections. We call them Atbar. And each of those sections, if your math is strong, is weak as mine, even you'll be able to work this out. 24 hours divided by 8 is 3 hours. And the last behar, the last section of the night before the next day is to rise upon us, those last 3 hours are referred to commonly as Amrit Vela. Guru Nanak is saying that if you rise at Amrit Vela, what should you then do at this time? Sach Nao. That you should repeat his true name. What name is Guru Nanak talking about? They're talking about the Guru Mantra. Vaheguru. Sare akho
Vaheguru.
Guru Nanak is saying that you're asking me what gift you should bring and place in the darbar before Vaheguru. What should you say to get his love? The gift that you should give is the gift of your Amrit Vela. That blessed time when no one can tear you between you and your blanket. At that time, tear your blanket away and stand up, have a shower, have a bath, and sit down and say, what should you then say to get their love? Sachnao, repeat their true name. Call out unto them. And do vadiyai vichar. Guru Nanak is saying, Amrit Vela Sachnao, the third part, vadiyai vichar. At this time, sing of their vadiyai, sing of their glory, and do vichar, contemplate upon who they are. So, Amrit Vela is a very, very beautiful time. There is never a wrong time to sing of the praises of Vaheguru. In fact, we'll come on to that in just a moment, about Amrit Vela can be described in different ways. But Guru Nanak is saying that the perfect time, the most blissful time, when you will get the most phal, if you like, the most reward for undertaking this action, is that time between 3 and 6 a.m. in that last bahar, those 3 hours before the sun rises. It's not so easy to do. It's not the easiest thing to do. In fact, when we sleep, we have a wonderful prayer, which is called Rakyad Shabad, the prayer of protection, which we sing together with Kirtan Swela. These are the two evening prayers that we do as we sleep. And in that prayer, one of the very last things you'll say as you fall into a sleep is Man mehjit vojitavani udam karo utneet har kirtan ka aharo har deho nanak ke meet. Guru Nanak puts these words upon our lips that, oh Paramatma, my only ardas to you is, please can you bless me that I can wake at Amrit Vela. Please bless me that I'm going to sleep now. Please bless me that I can wake in the few hours to come, so that I have this one request that I can do Udum, that I can sing your praises at Amrit Vela. So Guru Nanak speaks that this time is such a wonderful time. There was a time when Guru Nanak went to visit one of the kings in an area called Sri Lanka, which we now refer to as Sri Lanka. And when Guru Nanak is in conversation with these people, these kings there, he's bringing enlightenment to all of these people around that part of the world. And Guru Nanak says that if you wake up 3 hours before the sun rises and bath, they specifically talk about rising and doing Ishnan, taking a bath at this time, that there is a value which you could say is equivalent to a donation of a large amount of gold into the house of the Guru's house. And that if you rise, for example, an hour and a half later, or should we say an hour and a half before Amrit Vela is going to come to an end, that it is still so worthy that you will receive the blessings of donating silver in the house of the Guru. And then as you get closer towards the end of Amrit Vela, that just by waking and again bathing, the value to be received is the value of donating milk. But the real stark point to note is that the Guru is asked a question, what of those that don't wake, that wake after 6 a.m. for example, and that they don't do any Amrit Vela, they don't wake at this time and sing the praises of God, and the teaching could be considered to be quite harsh. But Guru is our father, they're not being harsh, they're just here to warn us, to guide us through education. They're saying it's almost like these people are dead. What is the point of them living if they don't wake at the early hours when you can truly be alive? Sadh Sangati, if you haven't ever woken at Amrit Vela and experienced this blissful feeling, it really is something quite amazing. That I'd invite all of you to just have this ardas, that as you go to sleep tonight, that you can say to Guru Sahib, please bless me that I can maybe tomorrow, or I can tomorrow wake at Amrit Vela and I can sit down and recite the blessed Guru Mantra and call your name. You see, the science is really as complicated or as simple as you want it to be. I'll give you a really simple example. When I'm downstairs in my house, or when I'm upstairs I should say, and my little one, she wants my attention. She just starts screaming my name and I can't ignore her. I can't ignore her for very long. And what will happen is I'll have to say Hanji and I'll have to go and answer her. And I'm just a lowly servant in your house, in the house of the Sangha today. But the science is that if you call the name of someone long enough, no matter how much they might want to ignore you, eventually they're going to give you their time. And Guru Nanak is saying the perfect time to call the Lord's name, to call upon them so that they can blossom forth within your own heart, is the time of Amrit Vela. The value of Amrit Vela cannot be overstated. In fact, Guru Arjan Devji was once asked to define what it means to be a Sikh. And Guru Arjan Devji says, Guru Satguru ka jo Sikh akhai, so palke ot har naam ti aave. Guru Arjan Devji describes a Sikh as that one that wakes early in the morning and calls upon the name of the Lord. That is the definition of a Sikh. Guru Arjan Devji says that that person who wakes very early in the morning at the Amrit Vela, that time which is beyond death, who does Ishnan and dutifully sits down and calls upon the Lord's name, that we can call that person we can call a Sikh of the Guru. It's a painful truth for some of us that might reflect and go, yo, if I'm not waking at Amrit Vela, does that mean that I'm not a Sikh? These are internal questions which we maybe have to battle with, and maybe our pride might take a bit of a knock. But the teaching for us is not that the Guru is being harsh, they're giving us a wonderful education. That in this time we can give ourselves a slap on the cheek and go, wake up, literally wake up, no pun intended, let's wake up. And maybe we can start practicing this Amrit Vela. So Amrit Vela, the primary understanding of Amrit Vela is that time, which is the 3 hours between 3 and 6 a.m. But Guru Nanak, in conversation with the Sidhs, they give further discourse and they speak at different times about the different definitions and further understandings, if you would like, the secondary understandings of what Amrit Vela is. And Guru Nanak says that actually this life is an Amrit Vela as well. This jivan that we've been given, there's 8.4 million of them. There's 8.4 million life forms in this akad, in this universe. 4.2 million reside in water and 4.2 million reside on land or in air. And we've all been through that whole cycle. We've been on a journey. We've been on a journey through each and every one of these life forms. Every single one of you has been on this journey to come to this very point where we've come into the human form. And the Guru has told us that this life is an Amrit Vela, because it's only in this life that we have the opportunity to call upon the Guru Mantar, that we have a chance to repeat that name Waheguru, which is that name that's going to help us call, that is going to help us to become one with the Lord. So Guru Nanak is saying, in this way we can call this life, however many years that we walk upon this earth in this human form, in this dehi, that this life is an Amrit Vela which we should cherish. And it goes back to something that we spoke about not so very long ago, which is the attitude of gratitude. That we should wake every morning, and if we don't yet do this, maybe we should look upon ourselves and say, thank you. This gift of life, the opportunity that we have, these hands I've been given to serve, this mind I've been given to concentrate upon your name, this mouth I've been given to call upon your name, these ears that you've given me, that I can hear your Shabbat. When we think about it this way, it's easy to understand that this whole jivan is an Amrit Vela, a time which is beyond death, where we have a chance to join with the Creator. Guru Nanak goes on, and they say, if you want to look at Amrit Vela another way, that you can take being in the Sad Sangat as an Amrit Vela. Because truly, this time when we're in the presence of Guru Nanak, as we all are right now, if we but had the eyes to see Guru Nanak sitting in our company today, that even now, in this moment, we're so blessed to be here, this is an Amrit Vela. This is a time beyond death. A time where we get a chance to feel the warmth and the feeling of contentment, which hopefully some of us, this sweet feeling of contentment as we hear the katha, the divine blessings of the Guru's teachings. This is an Amrit Vela. So Guru Nanak is saying that this human form is an Amrit Vela. When we come into the Sangat, is an Amrit Vela. Guru Nanak is saying that if you are so very lucky to drink from the sword, that if the Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj is to call upon you one day and say, I'll take your head, I'll allow you to give yours before the Panj, that if Guru Sahib adorns you with the Panj Kakar, and they call you and they allow you to be a part of the Sanjar, the Amrit Sanjar, and receive that blessed gift to drink from the Khanda and become part of the Khalsa Panth, that in that time, that is an Amrit Vela too. And quite literally we can see from the example given by Guru Gobind Singh Ji in 1699, when he called all of the Sangat together for that first Amrit Sanjar. Remember, Amrit Vela meaning time beyond death. Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj, they took the heads of the Panj, didn't they? We know that they cut the heads from all five, which would surely, in normal circumstances, in our limited understanding of the hukum of Waheguru, we would think that that's going to bring about death. But did the Panj ever die? By Adaya Singh Ji, when their head was cut from their body, did the Panj ever come to an end? No. In fact, they would then turn around. Upon being restored, they would then give Amrit in the form of the Panj to Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj themselves. Aape Guru, aape hi chela. That Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj, that blessed Guru, would get down on one knee and they would ask for Amrit from those Panj. Guru Nanak also speaks of another understanding of an Amrit Vela. They speak about life in the physical form when one is elderly. They say that when you've committed your life, for example, to working in your youthful and maybe formative years, and you've spent all of your time working 8, 10, 12 hours a day. And just to be clear, I'm not advocating this. This is just, Guru Nanak is talking about the ways of the world, how the world is caught up in chasing Maya. Guru Nanak is not saying that we should do this, but they're talking about the way of the world. And the way of the world is to chase money and to chase material things and try and bring about a temporary happiness. But Guru Nanak is reflecting and saying that most people, when they get elderly, they start to reflect on their lives. And so they look to abandon these things. They start looking about death nearly approaching them. And so they think, hang about, I better stop chasing these worldly things which haven't given me happiness. They get some wisdom from all of the failed happiness that they were looking to achieve in chasing Maya. And so in elderly years, it was quite common for people then to leave their families and try and search for God through dharma, through religious practices. And so Guru Nanak is saying, the way of the world, in this way, we can say that the way that the elderly are now abandoning Maya, that the elderly phase of life is an Amrit Vela, because they're now turning their mind to the true path. And there's actually a really wonderful, quite funny account of Guru Nanak Dev Ji's Jeevan, which I'd like to share with you. Guru Nanak, in their younger years, they did the opposite. They did the opposite of the whole world. The whole world is chasing Maya when they're in their 30s and 40s, and Guru Nanak is like abandoning all Maya, giving up their job and going off into the world in all four directions to try and save the whole world, to bring happiness and light. And so Guru Nanak is doing the opposite. When everybody's working in this time, Guru Nanak is using their strength to bring truth and light into the world. And it is said that Guru Nanak comes back from these journeys and they find themselves settling at Kartarpur. They're about 57 to 60 years old at this time. And they've been all over the world. They've come so far east as Rome. They've met the Catholic Pope and they've educated them of the wrongs of slavery that were taking place in Italy at the time. Guru Nanak has been all the way to Bengal. They've been to all over the Indian subcontinent, travelling about 28, 30,000 kilometres in this way. And they've come and settled now. But Guru Nanak's fame, the fame of the free kitchen, was going to continue to spread even when Guru Nanak has returned. In fact, to this day, the house of Guru Nanak is famed across the entire world and it is celebrated by people from all different faiths who come to the house of Guru Nanak to taste this wonderful free kitchen, to have a chance and sit in true unity as equals. And so the Siddhas, the yogis, they come to find out about this wonderful legendary Guru Nanak who sits everybody together, who serves everybody as equals, and they come to Kartarpur to search out for Guru Nanak, expecting to find a great yogi. And they find Guru Nanak, but not in the way that they were expecting. They find Guru Nanak out in the fields, and they're working. They're working in the fields, and they're toiling in the land, and they've got mitti and muck all over their clothes. And all of the Gurmukhs, all of the Sikhs, they're doing the same. And the yogis turn up there in their like pristine white clothing, and they're like, what's going on? We expected to find ourselves with like a wizard-like character. Someone, I imagine that they would expect to find someone like Gandalf or something like this, like a staff just standing there. And they find Guru Nanak toiling upon the land. They've got like compost upon their body as they're fertilizing the land. They've got dirty clothes. And the yogis, they look at each other, they look amongst themselves, they look at Guru Nanak, and they say, this Guru Nanak, he's an animal. They're like behaving like animals, they're chasing Maya, they're doing things that we've got no attachment to. And they think this amongst themselves. And the inner searcher of all hearts, the knower of all desires and all thoughts, Guru Nanak, they speak no words, but they were very polite and welcoming to the yogis. They say to the yogis, you've come this far, you might as well just stay and converse with us. And as the day begins to set, those Gurmukhs, they have gone out and collected food, prasad. They've got together dane and sabjiya, and they're starting to make lots and lots of food. And they're distributing that food to everybody and anybody that comes into the house of Guru Nanak at that place which we now call Dharamsal, the early Gurdwara, if you like, at the time, that place where righteous actions are being undertaken. And these yogis that are calling Guru Nanak like an animal, and these people that follow Guru Nanak, people that are chasing Maya, they're now seeing firsthand the wonderful, compassionate hand of Guru Nanak unto this world, giving out langar, vartaying prasad there to everybody for free, with a hand of compassion. And the yogis, they think, actually, these people, they're not animals. They're quite noble. We can say that they're noble people. Again, Guru Nanak, they speak nothing of their own vadiyai. They're so very humble, such a wonderful example to us. And as the sun begins to set, and dusk is approaching, those Gurmukhs have disappeared. The ones that were toiling the farmlands, and they come back in clean clothes. And they're sitting down, and the rabab has come out, the sitar has come out, the instruments have come out, and the yogis are now sitting in the company of the Gurmukhs as they're singing kirtan, and they're doing shabbats. They're singing this wonderful, wonderful prayers of God, so much love in their heart, speaking the language of love. And the yogis are overwhelmed with the feeling of emotion of the warmth and love in the house of Guru Nanak. And they say, yo, these people ain't just noble. We got it wrong. They're like angelic beings. They're like the Devi Devte. They're like these people that we worship, these demigods. That's the highest place we can describe them as being. That's what they are. Guru Nanak smiles. They say, you've come so very far, the dark is about to set in, the night is about to come. Why don't you stay a while, sleep, and in the morning you can head back onto your travels. And the yogis, their tummies full with that wonderful food, their minds and hearts full with the wonderful Shabbat, they're completely content. They say, yeah, show us where we're going to stay. Let's have a little lie. And they go to sleep, but not for long, because Amrit Vela is approaching. That wonderful time, which we call the ambrosial hours, it dawns upon Guru Nanak's Dharamsal. And these yogis, they're woken to the sound of Iko Ankara Satanama Karta Purakha Nirapav Niravaira Akala Murata Ajuni Sepangur Parasada Japa Ada Satcha Jug Ada Satcha Happy Satcha Nanaka Hosipi Satcha Soche Sochana Hovei Je Sochi Lakhvara Chupe Chupana Hovei Jai Lai Raha Levatar. They're woken to the sounds of Japji Sahib being calling out into the Amrit Vela night sky. And the yogis, they look at each other. They say, these people, they're not animals. They're not just noble. They're not Devi Devta. This is the form of God. This is Nirankar in this world. Guru Nanak Dev Ji would rise themselves at Amrit Vela. Guru Nanak Dev Ji was practicing these practices in their elderly ages, which is another example of an Amrit Vela. And the teaching unto us is that whenever we are in the company of the Guru, that is an Amrit Vela too. So Guru Nanak Dev Ji is saying to the Siddhas, you're asking me what we should bring into the court of the Guru, into the court of God, if we should be so lucky to find ourselves there. You're asking us what we should speak to get their love. Moho ke bolun boliye, jit sunu tare pyar. And Guru Nanak Dev Ji has made the answer so plainly clear to us all. We Amrit Vela Sachanao. The gift you should give is your Amrit Vela. And those words you should speak, Sachanao. Speak his true name. Vadiyai Vichar. And do it. Speak of the glories. Contemplate of the Vichar. Listen to the Katha. As you do this kirtan, as you call upon their name, Hanji.
Karmi ava kapara nadri mokh duare.
That if you do this, if you wake up Amrit Vela and you call upon his name and you sing of his glory and you reflect upon his virtues, in this way there will be a life direction changing event upon you. Your whole life will change as you are committing these karams. As you will stop committing effects in the world, you will start merging with that one. Karmi ave kapra. What will happen is your whole sarid will start to feel that shabad and become one with the Lord. Guru Nanak is saying at this time, if you are practicing Amrit Vela, what will happen is your positive deeds, which you're acting, will bring about a form of clothing inside you that will allow you to merge with the Lord. So, the clothes which you're wearing, I don't mean the Atari jumper that you're wearing or the Puma jumper. Guru Nanak Dev Ji talks about the clothes that you wear when you come into this world being your previous actions. So when you come into this world, the way you've come into this world is determined by your previous actions. And we call that, if you like, your karma. And Guru Nanak Dev Ji is calling that karam, they're using this metaphor, as your previous karam, you're wearing those upon your shoulders. They're your kapra, they're your clothes upon your body. Guru Nanak is saying, karmi ave kapra, that the way in which you've come into this world, the fact that you've had a chance to come into the Guru's Darbar now and sit here and listen to Katha Vichara, and that we can all come together and learn, this is because of your pishle karam, because of your previous actions. And everything that's going to happen to you in this life, for example, how long you're going to live, if you're going to get married, how much money you're going to have, all of these sorts of things, these are all determined by your karma. And we can often think about it this way, that hang on, if everything is predetermined by our karma, if how we're sent into this world is determined by our karma, then what is the point of making any efforts in this world? Because it's all predetermined, right? And on one particular occasion, this was the question that was posed to Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj. The king of Mandi, which is an area in the Indian subcontinent, they had come to pay respects, because we know that kings would fall at the feet of Guru Nanak, of Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj, because they were Sacha Sahib. And so the king of Mandi comes to Guru Arjan Dev Ji to pay respects and show love and devotional worship, because they were looking to be blessed with a child. And so they go to the giver of all gifts to make their request. They're coming before Guru Arjan Dev Ji and they're asking, "Be dehe dehe, give me this gift," before Guru Arjan Dev Ji. And so they're in the company of Guru Arjan Dev Ji, and at that time, Guru Arjan Dev, they are doing katha, they're doing discourse on a bani called Dakhani Oankar. And as they're doing katha of this wonderful Shabad, this conversation comes up where the teachings are given that where you are right now is a result of your previous karma, your previous actions. And the king of Mandi asks Guru Arjan, if that's the case, if these things can't be changed, then what is the point of us trying, of making an effort? What is the point of us coming and asking for bakshish from the Guru's Darbar? And Guru Arjan Dev Ji, they say to the king of Mandi, they say, tomorrow you will have your answer. And the king of Mandi, they go to their chambers and they go and rest. And as they're sleeping through the night, they have a dream. And in this dream, the king of Mandi, who's a very, obviously they're royal, they're regal, they consider themselves as such. In this dream, however, the king is born in a very low caste Hindu family. A very low caste Hindu family in a village somewhere. A far cry from living in a kingdom as a king. And he lives this lifestyle which is very, very different to the one that he's lived in real life in this dream. It seems so very vivid, so very real. And he gets married to someone of a similar low caste, and he lives in this sort of working class lifestyle. He has children, he has a daughter. And after about 40 years of toiling as a labouring, low caste Hindu, he dies. And in his dream, he sees his family mourning his death. And he wakes from this dream, and he's like, that was really surreal. And they go and see Guru Arjan Dev Ji. And Guru Arjan Dev Ji and his king, they go out hunting together into the jungles. As Guru Arjan Dev Ji and the king go hunting, as was Waheguru's hukum at this time, a deer prances out, takes the eye of the king, who gives rapid chase after the deer, who goes deep into the jungle. The king goes deep, deep into the jungle, losing sight of everybody behind, and they find themselves on their own, chasing this deer. And he happens upon a clearing where there's a village that he recognizes. And he sees his village and he can recognize it like it's a place that he's been before. He's so very tired for chasing down this deer, he sits down and he understands that actually this village that he's now in was the very village that he was picturing in his dream in the night before. And he sits down to try and get his breath back, to take some repose from that moment as he's reflecting upon what he's now seeing. And he starts seeing people in the village. He's like, yo, you was in my dream, in my 40-year dream that I had last night. And he says to himself, this is so very surreal. And he sees people, and there's different historical accounts, but he even goes and finds his own grave in one historical account of this itihas. And he can see his grave where he was being buried, and he can see even his wife. And his wife is looking at him, and she's like, how can this be? The king's like, I'm not your husband, I'm a king back in the world, outside this jungle. I've got a different reality. And the king eventually removes himself from the jungle, and he runs back to the sanctuary of the feet of Guru Arjan Dev. And he says to Guru Arjan Dev that I had this dream and I stumbled upon the village, and that was exactly my life. For 40 years I suffered in that lifestyle in a low caste Hindu family. And Guru Arjan Dev says that is your karam. Your karam was that you were going to live out this very lifestyle. This was going to be your way. But coming into the house of the Guru, whilst it could not be changed, the house of the Guru is a place of infinite compassion and mercy. And that which you were supposed to suffer and endure over a period of 40 years, you've endured all of that karam in one night's sleep. So whilst our karam is there to be played out, the cards have been dealt. In the company of the Guru, there is infinite compassion to be had. And as we spoke about last week, oftentimes, whilst there are going to be difficult obstacles before each and every one of our paths, we're all going to have challenges. What really makes those challenges bearable or unbearable isn't the actual obstacle. It's whether you are dealing with it on your own or not. And if we understand that in the Guru's company, in the Guru's blessed sanctuary, we're never on our own, then those obstacles which we're going to face, we'll find that they're nowhere nearly the same obstacle as it might have been if we were standing before it on our own. Just as this Sakhi explains to us, that king who had this fear of being in a low caste, whatever that means in their traditions, because obviously in Sikhi we don't have any understanding or concept of class or caste. But in his world, that was a far cry, a place he couldn't possibly imagine living through for 40 years and suffering in this way. So for him, that was his obstacle. And it was all removed and put through his life cycle in just a dream. So karmi ave kapara, how we are in this world is determined by what we have done previously. But Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj puts it so beautifully, Hanji Nadri.
Nadri mokh duar.
Be that as it may, that everything is ordained as per our previous actions. That everything that is acting out now, all of these reactions in our life are a consequence of the actions of previous lives. Even that this is the way, that this is the law of this universe, Guru Nanak, in their infinite compassion, in their infinite mercy and love, Guru Sahib is saying, Nadri mokh dwar, fare we from one nadri, one glance of grace. If Guru Sahib should happen to look upon you as you walk before them and bow before the Guru, Nadri mokh dwar, that they can take you from wherever you are, wherever you're supposed to be, they will take you to the dwar, the door of mukti. They can take you to that door unto their own, unto their very own house. Guru Nanak is saying, karmi ave kapara, up until now, you're here because of your own karam and what you have done. But from one glance of grace from the Guru, from one blessing of the Guru, nadri mokh dwar, they can take you from wherever you are, wherever you're supposed to be, and they can take you to that door, to Sachkhand, where the kirtan will always resound, where the shabad will always be vibrating, and there is only bliss. This is a really wonderful and powerful teaching to a universal question that people ask all over. People are always wondering the answer to this question, if how do I determine how I'm going to move forward if it's all preordained? Guru Nanak is giving us, they're completely juxtaposing the position right now, and they're saying, yes, we'll answer that universal question. The truth of the matter is that everything you've done is determined how you are here right now. But if you was to receive one glance of grace from the Guru, that they can take you wherever they want. Nadri mokh dwar, hanji.
Nanak eva janiya sab ape sachyar.
Guru Nanak is saying, Nanak eva janiya, know this. He's bringing the truth out into the world. Can you imagine Guru Nanak? It is said that Guru Nanak was around 10 years old when they were teaching these philosophers of the greatest sages and saints of most recognized teachers. Guru Nanak is saying, Nanak eva janiya, you should listen to me, listen and know what I'm about to say, Guru Nanak is saying. Nanak eva janiya, there's a steadfast truth into what they're saying. Sab ape sachyar. Guru Nanak is saying that the Lord which I speak of is a part and parcel of each and every particle of this whole universe. Sab ape, they are everything and everywhere and everyone. Satyar, that this is their way. They're bringing forth a truth that again helps us to understand, and we should really reflect and take comfort from this. Whenever we are on our own, if we were to just tap into that frequency, that vibration of the Gurmantar and call out that name, that the name itself is a form of the One. That we are, in our truest of essence, we are a form of that One also. And that if we can truly understand this, we will never ever be on our own. How can we go about recognizing Nanak eva janiya? Guru Nanak has said to the Siddhas, and they're also speaking to us, we know this, Sadh Sangaji, my brothers and sisters, we should also take a moment and reflect and know this. Nanak eva janiya, sab ape sachyar, that they are part and parcel of everything. How can we go about having our own personal reflection and realization of this? Gyani Kulwant Singh Ji, they do a wonderful teaching about this, and they say that the Guru teaches us 4 and 5 steps that we can do, that if we practice these 4 or 5 steps, that we will feel that true bliss, that true love of God, and then you'll be like, yo, I know that he's part and parcel of everything, because you'll never feel like you are on your own. Guru Sahib says to us, Antar Gur Radhana Jeeva Jap Gurnao Netri Satguru Pekhana Saravani Sunana Gurnao Satgur Seti Ratya Darke Payethao Kaho Nanak Kirpa Kare Jisno Ehe Vatde Jagme Uttam Kaadiye Vidle Keike. Guru Sahib is saying to us, Antar Gur Radhana, what we should do is worship him from inside our hearts. Antar Gur Radhana Jeeva Jap Gurnao. The second thing is that we should call their name from our tongue, like Guru Nanak has already said. Antar Gur Radhana Jeeva Jap Gurnao Netri Satguru Pekhana. With our eyes, we should look upon the Shabad. Use our eyes to look upon the Shabad. Saravani Sunana Gurnao. With our ears, we should listen to the Shabad. And if we do these things, Sache Sati Ratya Darge Payata, what will happen is that Guru Sahib will take us, they will merge us with themselves, and we will become one with that love. And we'll experience that actually you are part and parcel of every particle in this universe. So Guru Nanak is saying, number one, Antar Gur Radhana, worship him within your heart. Jeeva Jap Gurna. Number two, Jeeva Jap Gurna, we call them with your tongue. Number three, look upon the Shabad. Take the Gurkha upon your hands and read the Shabad. Look upon the Shabad. Saravani Sunanagana. Number four, listen to the Shabad as you speak it. As the Shabad comes out of your mouth, think about it. We often describe it this way, that as you speak the Shabad, think about it that it's escaping from you. No, you've got to capture it with your ears. So the Shabad goes straight back into your ears. That divine Shabad, that it goes straight into your ears, that you can enshrine it in your heart. Number four, that we should listen to it. And then finally, number five, Sache Seti Ratya. That when we... Satgur Seti Ratya. Meaning that we should then have love in our hearts. So we go full circle as we end this Bodhi today. Then Guru Nanak is teaching us that we should have love in our hearts. We started this Bodhi last week, and Guru Nanak was teaching us that the language that God speaks is a language of love. And we end now with this teaching again, that we should devotionally worship God in our hearts, that we should look upon the Shabad with our eyes, we should listen to it with our ears, and that we should enshrine love for the Shabad in our hearts. And in this way, Nanak Eve Janiye Sab Ape Sachyar, what will happen is you will come to know that he is part and parcel, that the Creator is part and parcel of this whole universe. Or putting it another way, we are never on our own. So we must have made many, many mistakes in trying to do the katha, the vichar of the teachings of that one which is infinite and pure love and compassion unto this world. Next week, we're going to be speaking about the questions that the Sidhs were posing about Waheguru, as their curiosity is getting the better of them and they find themselves falling more and more in love with Guru Nanak. And they ask Guru Nanak about the Creator and who it was that gave the Creator permission to come into existence, from whom it was that Guru Nanak took tapi. And we're going to hear about the value of what it means to do seva, something so very important. With the blessings of Guru Nanak, we're going to talk about the path of a Gurmukh as well. What it is that a Gurmukh should do. Guru Nanak does the impossible and explains to us the impossible task. Guru Nanak does the impossible by explaining something to us so simply and making it so easy for us to follow, making it so very simple. So we've probably made many mistakes. You are the Sad Sangat. I beg for your forgiveness and your blessings. Please give us your blessings, that we can properly and completely, that we can one day properly and completely serve the Sad Sangat. Deho Sajan Asi Sriya Jo Hove Sahib Syo Mel
Karmi Ava Kapara Nadri Mokh Duar Nanak Eva Janiya Sab Ape Sachyar. Wahe Guru Ji Ka Khalsa, Wahe Guru Ji Ki Fateh.